The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Thursday, the 20th of March, 2025. Interest rate decision day. Well, it's not really, is it? Didn't make a decision, do they? Do something. Bloody do something. Just sitting there thinking, oh no, we worry about trade and tariffs and pay inflation. Yes. In the meantime, the economy is going down the tubes. Idiots. What is wrong with them? Can't they see out 6 to 12 months? Do they honestly think there's going to be pay increases? Don't they see that tariffs has a slowing effect on global economies? Inflation will not be sustained. Anyway, sorry about that. I'm just annoyed. The markets, heaven's sake. It's ridiculous. So, let's look at the markets first before we get into micro-macro news. FTSE 100 down a third of 1%, 8679. FTSE 250 down a fifth of 1%, 20,084. FTSE small cap, it's flat, 6642. And the AIM All Share, it's pretty much flat. 694. Come on. Do they not understand the Bank of England? Just a quarter of 1%. What effect is that going to have? But the boost in sentiment it'll give to business owners, you know, around the country, to people with loans, people want to take out loans to expand, it will help the economy. Trouble is they haven't got a dual mandate, you see. All they're concerned about is all they have to think about is inflation, which they can't really control. It's ridiculous. Rather than inflation, think about people. Think about jobs. Think about economies. Anyway. It needs to get above, 700 pretty much, 705. The AIM All Share to really get going again. It's literally bouncing off a low here. Okay. Let's have a look at commodities. Brent crude, it's flat, $70, $86. 70.86, that is, by the way. Copper, is it still on the rise? It is again today. Copper, it's on a heck of a day. 5 month high, pretty much, copper is at the moment. Look at that. It's a ton, 11,285. It's really coming into a little bit of resistance here because this previous intraday high was back in May at around about this level. It did close a bit lower, though. So we'll see. Maybe it did have a big fall-off, actually, after the last rise to this. It dropped by like 5% the next day. So we'll see if it can break through that. What about gold? Gold is up there. It's up a tenth of 1% to $3,045 an ounce. By the way, my favourite topic when I talk about gold is Ramsden's. Ramsden's bouncing off nice now. It's above 220. I did say that's a bit of a resistance, temporary resistance. It seems to be breaking that. So check out Ramsden's, 5% dividend, okay? They're growing the store estate. They're doing very well. New product coming up very soon. Excellent business. Immune, in fact, can thrive in any recession. But it's also got the upside of holidays, foreign exchange, the card coming out very soon, international money transfers. They got a card already, but lots of things going on. It's one of those steady stocks that never be too volatile to the downside or upside. There's a bit of volatility, but it'll climb nicely over the years, and you're being paid income as well as capital upside. Also a company worth looking at, actually pays 6% dividend, is Personal Group Holdings, PGH. 6% dividend. They got about 30 million of cash in the bank, so that was restricted, so about 20 million. Nevertheless, they have a 65 million market cap. They are growing ahead of expectations recently. Check that out. They have ambitions to do 100 million in revenue with 30% EBITDA margins. So worth checking out there. Just while I'm on stocks, Time Finance again is coming out with ahead of expectations update next week. And yet, of course, it's been dragged down with the general bearish market sell-off. Ridiculous, fantastic company. And talking about fantastic companies, while I'm here, there's not much news on microcap companies, so I'll talk about Beaks again. If you haven't watched the Investor Meet presentation. I'm hoping to catch up with Gordon, CEO, soon to have a chat about operations. But it does seem very exciting because they've got this revenue share model, and there's really huge upside in that, you know, because they'll only use that model if they see scale at exchanges with a demand for access. So if it's a small exchange, then they'll go on a fixed contract with, you know, upfront payment. I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday, but a lot of people come, what's your competitors? Competitors. First of all, there's three parts, right, to being an amazing business. First of all, your tech has to be, if you're a tech company, tech has to be good. Beaks Tech is the best, okay? There's hardly any innovators out there. This, like Gordon said, the people are trying to copy us, but that's not the whole point. That's not the point. You can get a tech startup, try and copy them or do whatever they want to do. But the hard bit is actually getting into the doors of these exchanges. Now, Beaks have been working on this for years. And you try getting a meeting with someone at NASDAQ, let alone a contract. And even if you get a meeting, there's years of sort of chat, relationship, testing, all that stuff, before you get anywhere near getting a contract. Beaks have done all that groundwork. And they've also now got track records where their tech has been working for years. So, or Exchange, actually, Cloud, which is the same as Proximity, it's based in the Exchange. It's been now, what's the first, over a year now, Johannesburg Exchange, and they've expanded their operation with Beaks multifold. So it's one of my competitors. Sorry, where was I? Yeah. Bitcoin. Let's have a look at that. Oh, by the way, yes. It's almost like I'm quite bullish now on crypto because Beaks have signed up a Kraken, which is a crypto exchange. And so you understand, if Bitcoin starts rallying, then of course there's more volumes going through, more people get interested again. And in fact, Bitcoin is down today, 1.77, but it's now over. It's closed below the 200-day moving average. Above the 200-day moving average. Which, if you look at previous examples of when it's crossed above 200-day, it's quite bullish for it. So maybe I do hold a little bit of Bitcoin. Not a lot, just a little bit, just to keep my interest into it. But you've got to say, really, it's an odd thing. Who knows what the heck it is? But what you can say, and what sort of convinced me a little bit of Bitcoin, is that it's never been hacked. And if you imagine the people in this area of crypto, the initial people who take it up, adopters and all that stuff. They're at the forefront of technology, aren't they? Early adopters. They're techies. They're programmers. And Bitcoin has never been hacked, which is phenomenal, isn't it? When you think the founder created that, it still works. Yes, of course, platforms have been hacked, like any websites. But, the actual technology within Bitcoin has never been hacked. Over 10 years, 15 years now, when did Bitcoin start? Let's scroll back here. It started in 2015, so 10 years pretty much. It was listed, I'm looking on TradingView here. It was first listed there back at $200 pretty much, but in 2015, over 10 years now, and it's not been hacked. So it says something about the technology behind that. Let's look at a government debt. So the 2-year yield. Or the yield on the 2-year government bond is 4.175. It's down 0.75%. In fact, it's teetering on the 200-day moving average. Nicely a break below that. The 10-year is at 4.58, down 1.23%. Let's look at the government. Oh, yeah, the pound is rallying a little bit against the euro. You get 1 euro 19.5, and against the dollar, you get $1.29.5 there. So there we go. Let's look at some macro news. First and foremost is Bank of England, of course. They hold at 4.5%. They've voted a majority of the MPC committee of 8-1 to maintain that rate. One member preferred to reduce the rate by a quarter, and that was Swati Dhingra. I applaud you, Swati Dhingra. You are looking ahead. You're understanding the wider economy. Isn't it amazing how they all sort of voted this time to hold, Oh, we don't know. It's a bit of uncertainty, isn't it? Let's put our presentation together. So they say, while UK GDP growth estimates have been slightly stronger than expected at the time of February, business surveys indicators generally continue to suggest weakness in growth, particularly in employment intentions. So what does that say to them? It's not a one-off factor here. Employers are not, you know, hiring people anymore. They're putting, you know, recruitment freezes on, laying off people. Since the MPC's previous meeting, the global trade policy uncertainty has intensified, and the United States has made a range of tariff announcements to which southern governments have responded. They say uncertainty is there. 12-month CPI inflation increased to 3% in January from 2.5%, slightly higher than expected. Domestic price and wage pressures are moderating but remain somewhat elevated. A typical speak of the Bank of England. Domestic prices and wage pressures are moderating but remain somewhat elevated. And they do say the Monetary Policy Committee will continue to remain restrictive for sufficiently long enough to see risks to inflation returning sustainably to 2% target in the medium term. The committee will decide appropriate degree of monetary policy restrictiveness at each meeting. Those meetings are cracking, I bet, aren't they? Okay. What, quarter point. That would really help the markets, business, sentiment, everything. But it wouldn't really have any effect on inflation, a quarter point. They don't understand that, do they? UK jobs market steadies with the BOE set to keep rates on hold. We've seen this. Pace of pay growth was little changed, and there were other signs of stability in the jobs market. Private sector pay, excluding bonuses, a key gauge for Bank of England, rose by 6.1% in the 3 months of January compared to the same period a year earlier, marginally slower at 6.2%. But there was that data from Brightmind, wasn't there? They say British employees have fallen back in line pay increases. Inflation. Where is this then? I think Brightmind are more up to date, are they? Maybe? I don't know. So that's showing that pay increases are going down. And finally, a bit of positive news. London gains ground on New York in ZYEN Global Financial Hub Survey. I don't know what this is. But anyway, London is gaining ground on New York in a closely watched index of the world's leading financial centres in a first sign that efforts by policymakers to reboot Britain's sluggish banking and investment industry have started to bear fruit. The US city has held top position in think tank ZYEN's Global Financial Centres Index since September 2018, but London closed the gap to just 7 points after rising 12 points in the 37th publication of the survey published on Thursday. That's good, isn't it? The UK financial industry is grappling with continued challenges to its status as the world's second largest financial hub after losing unfettered access to the European Union's single market in the wake of Brexit. But the Financial Conduct Authority and the Prudential Regulation Authority are consulting on growth-focused reforms to boost Britain's competitiveness, while Chancellor Rachel Reeves has called for a more balanced approach to risk. She is under the cosh, which is good. And, of course, 26th of... Was it next week, isn't it? This budgetary chat, talk, whatever. She's going to come out with some nonsense and deny that her previous budget had anything to do with, you know, cutting the legs off any signs of growth. But, of course, it's all down to that, pretty much. OK, micro news. There's not a lot out today, so I missed two companies yesterday because they came out a bit late. So I'll cover that. So the first one is, let me just refresh this. The first one is 4Global. They did a strategy update. What was it called? Trading update. Strategic transition. Now, this is a market cap of 7 million. And just looking at the last set of results, which was back in December, was it? Let me just go back there. Bear with me, caller. Thank you very much. Do apologise. 4GBL. So the last set of results were the half-year results, and that was on the 12th of December. Okay. Let me just put this in my spreadsheet here. By the way, this is available to all members, if you're listening. Just go to the blog section, click in there. And this was the tale of the tape. The top line, dipped 3% to 1.7 million from 1.75. Loss before tax of 1,075,000 versus 1,003,000. So the loss has increased. And they had net debt of 296K. Their strategy has caused the broker to downgrade their figures. And they say they're guiding to revenue. They've gone down. Top line has gone down now. Estimated for 25 was supposed to be 7.6 million, down to 5.1. And this is based, you know, on previous 2024, 6.4. So from 6.4 down to 5.1, it would have been 7.6. And for 2026, 5.8. So it's growth on 25, but still down on 24. My view on this, interesting company, you know, into data and now AI, but recent updates is downgrading top line. They're loss-making, cash is tight, net debt more than double in H1. Maybe revisit when they start generating a profit for tax, if they start doing that. So ignore. And next was Gfinity. Oh, I used to hold this back in the day. I believed in the story. And frankly, it's because I chatted to the CEO. I believe the story, not the narrative. I believe in the narrative, not the numbers. That's a lesson. Numbers, not narrative, okay? If the narrative plays out, it will be in the numbers. So then, their half-year results, the 31st of December. Now, they are in transition from a failed business model, and now they're trying to find another one. But just looking at the figures here, top line was 390K versus 805, so down 51%. Loss before tax of 271,000, up from 19,000. And they had net cash of 10K. I mean, there has been some fundraising going on. They're now trying to adopt this new model. OM Technology Solutions to commercialize artificial intelligence technology targeted in the connected video market. And they raised, about 260K? Is on the 5th of February. My thoughts are ignore. This is a company looking for a commercial business. They are pinning their hopes on this new technology to generate commercial revenues. This is a very crowded market, the advertising market with AI, and scale is the key. It will take a lot of spend, and they don't have the money. I would not be surprised if they need to raise funds many times in order to achieve revenues that are meaningful, if they achieve this at all. There's more established players in this field without funding issues. I'd say ignore. It's not even a business as yet. It's just hope. When you've got hope and you've got no revenue or no cash, then it's left wanting. So I would say ignore. That's it for the podcast today. Thanks for listening. The sun is out nicely today. I hope it is where you are. So anyway. Yeah, that's it. By all means, by the way, Shibika's website is having a facelift very soon, and there's lots more things going on in the background. I have to submit a report of an upgrade to a certain section, which will be quite exciting. But in the meantime, check it out, shibika.com, and go to the book at the top of the page for an interesting read. Thanks very much for listening. Muchos apreciados. Speak you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The contents of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.